You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, November 8th. I'm just so excited. 2016.
So excited, he flipped the calendar.
This is Armageddon. This is it, the disaster. Depending on how you look at it. This is the end of the world as we know it. I am Greg Sussman.
I don't feel fine.
Alongside the king, Scott Angle. Corey Parson on the way in a bit. And, of course, Tony Cincotta as well. Happy Election Day. We will be opening polls throughout the program. We're arguing red versus blue throughout the program today. Talk a little Monday Night Football as well. Talk some election because that's what's on your minds and it's on our minds too. Give us a call at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Also, because it's Election Day and because we like you and we want you to make your fantasy playoffs, we've decided to drop the premium package today for you. You want to make the playoffs, go to rotoexperts.com, type in free radio at checkout. You can get our exclusive Edge package for under $10. It's crazy. You can get the WWE Network for more, and that costs nothing. So go to rotoexperts.com and purchase the exclusive Edge package under $10. Good morning,
Scotty.
And I will
be chatting tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, sir.
And you'll be chatting. Yeah. You can just call him Wolf Blitzer tonight. He'll be like on the board with John King, pointing out states that'll help you win your fantasy leagues.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing double duty.
Right.
You know, I'm going to cover the election and giving people waiver pickups at the same time.
Absolutely. Good morning, Tony.
How are we doing today? All ready and raring to go. It's a big day, of course, in America. I don't know if we can help America, so we'll try to help people fantasy-wise, which in fact will stimulate the economy, at least your economy.
Maybe. I'm not quite sure. My comedy, personally. But are you excited for this election day? Will you be having the news on throughout the day?
Not till later in the day, because I don't want to get burnt out early in the day. Yeah. So I'll try to hold off till later. You know, it's one of those things, like when I play DFS, I hate having the 6 a.m. show.
Right.
Because I have to look at this thing like at four in the morning, and then all of a sudden, it's a 15 hours of changing your mind, going back and forth. Can you imagine doing that all election day? So I'm going to hold off as much as I can.
Yeah, you know, to me, thank goodness we're here. Like, the only CNN, as you know, Tony, the only CNN we have here is without sound.
I've never watched it.
You've watched it with me. Get the hell out of here.
I'm a Fox News. Now, you know what, to tell the truth, this is the craziest thing. I'm a Democrat. I was born in Massachusetts, I was born a Democrat.
Right.
But I don't vote by party lines. I'll vote for the people that I appreciate.
As you should,
but
I think.
The entertainment purposes of Fox News, I can't get past.
It's fantastic.
I love it, and I can't watch any of the news because the entertainment purposes. I don't agree with 50% of the things they say.
Sure.
But they do it in a very entertaining fashion.
So you never know when you'll turn into Fox Business and see Lil Mayone.
Anyway,
that's the other thing. I'm just waiting for that.
So what was more important? So for me, 4 years ago, I'll always remember this, Tony. And it goes exactly with what you were saying. And I was watching the election, and CNN and NBC and Fox News, everybody announces or projects that Barack Obama will remain president for another 4 years.
Right.
And I go to Fox. So I watch CNN. They projected it. And NBC, they projected it. Fox News projected it. So Tony, I go to Fox News. And Karl Rove is sitting there saying, I don't agree with the projections. They're lying. And Megyn Kelly's like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is what the projections are, Carl. And he's like, these precincts haven't reported. I am not agreeing to the results of this election. And the Fox News people are just like, I don't know what you want us to tell you. This is the deal. And
this is going to happen tonight.
No, it's gonna
that's
happen.
Why Tony tonight. Watches that channel.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly
why he watches.
It's amazing. Yeah,
chaos.
It's amazing. I was actually, I grew up with Bill O'Reilly before he was on Fox, and
right.
I was able to listen to him on the radio. And I've always been a Bill fan. I think he's got a little crazier in his age.
Sure.
Trying to stay relevant, but I've always been a big Bill O'Reilly fan. I grew up with political radio in Boston, for all the people that listen out there. Howie Carr was one of my favorite guys. growing up that was great in political radio. So I've always been a fan.
All righty. Corey Parson, good morning, my friend.
Yeah. It's election day.
It's election day, man. Yes. It's Armageddon.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
T-Day.
We'll see.
T-Day?
Huh?
T-Day?
We'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how the situation plays out, but it's been a long road. So then we get here, you know what I'm saying?
It's been a long road, but do you think it's over? Do you think, like, all roads lead to election day, but do you think whoever wins tonight, it's over?
I think it's over tonight.
Chris Pavone, you are shaking your head vehemently no.
No.
You don't think it's over?
No. This won't be over until 2019.
So you think if a particular candidate loses tonight, that it will continue on?
I think one particular candidate will use a certain TV. Excuse me, I shouldn't have done that. A certain TV network.
That he's creating himself?
Yep. That it will be creating itself. I don't consider that thing a human being. So I won't say he or she.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, no. I feel the same way about both of them.
Right. So are you voting
for
one of
them?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm voting.
You're voting. Okay.
I am voting.
And you're not voting for like yourself. You're voting for one of those two candidates?
I am voting for one of the two candidates, yes.
Gary Johnson?
No.
I was about to say.
Gary Johnson, Dr. Jill Stein.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Hey, we'll talk more about the election coming up later on in the program. And like I said, we got a bunch of polls coming up. Each and every hour, we're going to have our analysts go head-to-head. They will be on both sides, red and blue, to argue for fantasy players that play in red and blue states. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And we begin...
Very creative.
Thank you. We begin with Monday Night Football with the Seattle Seahawks. Scotty, it was an interesting game because a lot of hate for the referees by the end of the game.
And hopefully that's on the ballot today.
make the referees great again, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of hatred for the referees who... As Dean Blandino came out and said, they blew the field goal at the end of the half for Buffalo.
Both of those calls, yeah.
They blew that. Mm-hmm. Should have been a three-point game. Of course, total game change in the second half. You can't say this would have happened if that would have happened, obviously, in the NFL. But, you know, it may have been a three-point game at the end of the game. No idea if Dan Carpenter would have made the field goal at the end of the game. Obviously, we have no idea. But it was a much more high-scoring game than you predicted. It was a good back-and-forth game. It was a good game outside of all the penalties and all the frustrations. But... Seattle did get by Buffalo when it was all said and done. Russell Wilson finally gets back in the end zone. He looked a little bit better last night. Doug Baldwin got back on track. I cost myself a victory by playing Jerick McKinnon over Dontrell Inman. I needed just three more points from Doug Baldwin. Didn't happen, but that's fantasy.
Too bad you don't get points for pass interference. Youngs.
Right. I thought he was going to have a touchdown there. I was about to go crazy. Scotty, what did you think of the Seahawks and the Bills last night?
I think Russell Wilson is the best that he's looked all year.
Okay.
Pete Carroll said on the plane ride the way back from New Orleans in the post-game press conference, they decided to, take the reins off of him. But I, whether you want to believe that or not, that's the best that he looked all year. He was taking deep drops. He was making rollouts. And when Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson, he throws a great deep ball, and that's what he was doing last night. I don't believe he looked 100% mobile of his usual mobility, but it was certainly some of it was definitely back. He saw the early rushing touchdown, so that was very good to see. For some reason, all of a sudden, although that's been respectable all year long, not as bad as some people have made it out to be, the Seahawks totally elected to veer away from the running game. Maybe because that pass defense was so bad, but showed no confidence in the running game. Maybe when Russell Wilson is 100%, more read option is in there. But now we have to start to think as Kristen Michael owners, Thomas Rawls coming back in week 11. And on the other side of the ball, Tyrod Taylor played the best game of his career. Credit to him. The Seahawks definitely missed Michael Bennett and Cam Chancellor, and he played a terrific game.
Yeah, and I said that to you yesterday, that without Cam Chancellor, who you have told me multiple times is the quarterback of this defense, I mean, he's the heart and soul of the defense, and they're not the same without Cam Chancellor.
Communicator and physically.
Right, you have said that to me year after year after year, and I expressed to you yesterday, you know, being hurt was obviously huge for them, even last night in the game, that you thought they wouldn't have any problems in. But Michael Bennett, another major, major loss. And like you said, Tyrod Taylor, the game of his life.
They couldn't get off the field on third down.
Absolutely.
Without Bennett, it was very tough to do that.
Absolutely. And with Tyrod Taylor having the game that he had, it was a close game. What did you see, Corey, from Buffalo here? As Scott gave a great analysis of the Seattle side of things, what did you see from Buffalo?
I agree with Scott 100% with Tyrod Taylor's situation. That was an excellent game he played last night in a losing effort. Tyrod Taylor, definitely one of the top fantasy quarterbacks so far this season. I believe he's ranked inside, well, not ranked, but performing inside the top 12. He's a QB1 for fantasy purposes. Robert Woods had him in a couple lineups last night. I like him as number one target on the Buffalo Bills when they open it up. LeSean McCoy looked healthy. We saw the speed, the burst, the shake and bake.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gillisley, oh my goodness, vaulted that one touchdown. But when you take, but my takeaways from this game is, first of all, the officiating in the NFL has been horrible this season, absolutely downright.
Don't we
putrid.
See that every season?
But this year has been particularly bad. Number one, number two, Jimmy Graham. You know what we talked about him at the end of the, on Out of Bounds yesterday. Boy, I tell you what, this guy, these patella tears. Cripple people and they put them out for their careers. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham is like just as good as he ever was. Right? I'll be 100% honest with you.
So you change your opinion from yesterday?
I'm changing my opinion okay. on Jimmy Graham. He is getting it done. And last but not least, and I know you're going to be upset with this, Scotty, but that was a dirty play by Richard Sherman last night. That was a dirty play, and Richard Sherman knows better than doing that. And I was disgusted when I saw that.
I don't think it was a dirty play, but it definitely should have been a late hit and a penalty. I think he was going for the football. I don't think he intended to hurt the kicker, but I think there was a definite penalty on there that was not called.
Tony, what did you see last night?
For clarification, Tyrod Taylor is an amazing eighth in the quarterback rankings right now, if you go by points per game. So a great job by him thus far. Last night, it was amazing. This is the one thing that is the hardest thing for fantasy football, which makes it a great, it makes it absolutely painstaking. When you look at LeSean McCoy, I would have never, ever waited till Monday to put him in my lineup, and he looked like he was ready to go. He was 100% healthy. And the lesson to be learned here is that each and every time we have these injuries, if a guy suits up, you have to play him, yep. And you're going to get burnt at times. You're going to get burnt. But you got to remember, you can put a healthy player out there, and he could go two plays and become injured. So the risk is associated in every single play, whether he's healthy or not. And if a guy's on the field, you can't avoid not playing a guy like LeSean McCoy, because whoever you're putting in that lineup is nowhere near the player of LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, there were two plays last night that clearly illustrated that he was back. There was a 3rd and 18 deep in Buffalo territory. They threw a screen to McCoy, and he almost got the first down. And then there was a play in the third quarter where he had Kelce McCray in the open field, and he just juked him out of his shoes.
Yeah, I thought LeSean McCoy looked very spry last night. I thought that he looked on the money and cutting on a dime, looking like LeSean McCoy, in all honesty. I thought that week off really did him very, very well.
I think early on, the cutback white wasn't there, but everything else was. As the game went on, you saw more of the cutback.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought LeSean McCoy looked very, very good last night. The final numbers from McCoy, 21 carries, 85 yards. He had 4 receptions for 35 yards. As Corey was mentioning, Robert Woods, guys, 10 receptions for 162 yards on 13 targets. Tony, is this something we could, I don't want to say expect week in and week out with Robert Woods, because I don't think we can do that. But what do we make of Robert Woods' performance? How much of this can we see every week?
You know, the crazy part is, I talked about this on the news show this morning, the fantasy news desk here at 6 a.m. this morning, is that the bottom line is, if the guy's on the waiver, which he is in some leagues, he's the number one wide receiver for a National Football League team. So you can't expect this every week, but he's going to be the guy that gets the most targets in this offense. You might not consider one of the best passing offenses. It's not going to be confused with the New England Patriots at any stretch of the imagination, but he's still the number one wide receiver on a football team. He should be on somebody's roster.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think as the number one wide receiver, you have to be on the roster. I'm just wondering, Corey, how often you can play him.
That's exactly what I was about to get to. I think he can be more consistent than any of the trio in San Diego.
You think he's more successful than any? Do you agree,
really?
Scott?
Yeah.
I see where Corey's going with it, because Phillip Rivers, when he's on his game, you never. Benny Riccardi said this with you, I think, about 2 weeks ago. On the Daily Show, Tony, that you never know from week to week which San Diego receiver it is. But then again, with Travis Benjamin having the PCL, you know, I think it's more likely Terrell Williams or Dontrell Inman. But Robert Woods would probably get the most targets, so I see where you're going with that, whereas Rivers tends to spread the ball around a little more.
Yeah, I don't agree with with that. To me, like you said, Phillip Rivers just throws the ball so often, and that offense really has been relatively explosive thus far. I would much rather have Tyrell Williams than Robert Woods. Tony?
You look at it, Woods' numbers are actually, let's throw out the first two games of the year where he wasn't the number one wide receiver.
Yep.
And you go to start at week three, he's only had one game under five catches. So that's not bad when you think about wide receivers we throw out there. He's been pretty consistent. As you mentioned, he just doesn't get in the end zone, and he only has one touchdown. So that's the only problem. But how many wide receivers do we have on our rosters when we go in four deep in deeper leagues? He is definitely a guy playable, and he actually shows more consistency than someone would envision.
Sometimes you got to take the labels off. And I think we do that as analysts. We say, after 8 weeks, this guy is not what he was. But fantasy players wait longer. They've known Robert Woods as a fantasy nobody for his whole career until right now. People are still, like, you know, asking questions in Roto Experts email advice. Should I buy low on Allen Robinson? Do I want to acquire Todd Gurley?
Right.
You know, they're still stuck on the names.
The key is when early in the season, when they call Sammy Watkins into the management, they asked, I guess they was talking about the foot or what he wanted to do, whatever.
Sure.
They asked him, what did he think about the receiving core? And Watkins said, Robert Woods is the guy. And that's when I was like, let me pay attention to Robert Woods. He comes in there now as number one wide receiver. So, yeah, I think he's definitely ownable in the 12-team league. And I think, you know, especially as we go through bye weeks, you know, receivers are a little bit easier to find. But I'd have teams where he's a fringe starter every week.
The only fantasy analyst I heard talking up Robert Woods earlier this season was Pat Mayo.
Yeah, I think Mayo said it. I think, to be fair, a bunch of people. I've been on Robert Woods before.
Well, he was the only one that
I'm not saying me, because I wasn't on this year, but like I liked Robert Woods coming out of USC. Mm-hmm. And I always thought he was talented. I've had him on my teams the last couple of years as an end-of-the-bench guy. And he does have some talent. But moving on from Robert
Woods. Are you sure, Engel, that Mayo wasn't talking about Tiger Woods during the call?
Moving on from Robert Woods, guys, for a moment. Kristen Michael here last night. He had 5 carries for 1 yard. Did have a touchdown to save the day. Thomas Rawls, theoretically, is coming back in 2 weeks, and that's probably not going to happen because coaches lie about injuries and yada, yada, yada. But Thomas Rawls could come back, let's say, in 2 weeks. Michael was awful last night. A little bit of a downtrend here.
He only gave him 5 carries.
We had 1 yard.
I know, but if you're going to only give him the ball 5 times, how many yards are you going to end
up with? One of them was from the 1 yard line, so that limits how many yards you can get.
They did not go to him at all.
So, Scott, you're not worried about Kristen Michael?
Well, I'm saying I'm worried because it seems like the team has lost confidence in him.
Right. Well, that's
the running game overall.
Sure. Yes.
I mean, if he had 15, 20 carries, we would have still had a different line, because as a running back, you know, you want to get into a rhythm, you want to get the ball, you want to start getting momentum. Maybe this was game plan specific, because I've never seen them, you know, shrink the running game like this ever since Russell Wilson has been the quarterback of that team. So this is a definite concern. There was a lot of – I haven't seen the snap count, but C.J. ProSize was in there a lot. I think it was part of design of the game plan, part losing confidence, some confidence in the running game.
This has been a downward trend, though, since week 4. Week 4, he had 18 carries. He averaged 3.2 yards a carry. Week 5, he had 18 carries, 3.6. Week 16, 18 carries, 3.3 yards a carry. Then New Orleans, he only had 10 carries. He had 4 yards a carry. And then yesterday, 5 carries. So he's been trending downward since week 4.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. You know, you're right. Obviously, he only had 5 carries. So there wasn't much of a chance for him to do anything. But Tony mentioned
Tony pointed out the
trend.
Numbers. What was it?
And
did he had 18 carries?
Week 3?
Yeah, week 7? Yeah. He had 16 carries. Yeah. So, you know, it's quite a reduction.
And Scotty, as you pointed out, they have lost confidence in their running game for whatever reason. So you could say maybe Kristen Michael's not getting the carries, but it's because they've lost confidence, which for our purposes makes it a very, very tenuous situation.
It does. I think part of it that, you know, they've been careful with Russell Wilson and they're taking away the read option, which has, you know, been a big part of the running game over the years. But, you know, Michael hasn't looked terrible when he's run the ball, so it's a little bit baffling.
It's
the whole offense, for the most part, on for Seattle, with, you know, with Russell being banged up, has not looked themselves outside of Jimmy Graham. You know what I'm saying?
But last night, it even seemed like the offense was back on track, and Christian Michael did less than nothing here.
I think that was the flow of the game.
Okay.
Buffalo came out swinging. They weren't going to quit. It was going to be up and down. And I think Seattle realized, okay, we got to take this situation, and Buffalo covered. We got to take this situation seriously. And I think they said, you know what, we're not going to sit up here, take this L at home. We're going to have to let Russell, you know, take everything out, the, you know, throw the playbook away, let Russell do his thing, get the offense rolling again. I don't think the game script called for Christine Michael, even though he got that cheap touchdown.
Scott, Tyler Lockett also looked healthy, I thought, last night. All the kick returns, he was moving. He was out there.
43-yard kick return.
Exactly. He looked good and healthy. He gave him a run behind one running play last night. He had 13 yards on it. But a healthy Tyler Lockett, a healthy-looking Russell Wilson, who completed 20 out of 26 passes. I mean, this is Russell Wilson, right? 282-2. This is a healthy Russell Wilson and a seemingly healthy Tyler Lockett, right?
Mm-hmm.
One catch, 17 yards. I don't want to blame health anymore.
Here's the key week coming up.
Oh, come on. How many times have you said that to me?
Here's the key week coming up.
How many times have you said that to me?
Listen to me. Listen to me, okay? Here's why I say it, okay? This is what Carol has said. What I'm saying is that next week they play New England.
Right.
What does New England do?
Takes away
your best offensive weapon. They're going to try to take out Jimmy Graham somehow and single Malcolm Butler on Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
They're going to force Russell Wilson to go to Tyler Lockett and Jermaine Kearse.
Yep.
Next week, we truly find out about Tyler Lockett.
To be fair, it's now 10 weeks, and you have told me that I probably each and every week of the season, that next week you find out about Tyler Lockett.
I was wrong. He was not healthy up until, I'd say, he didn't look healthy up until last night.
Last night he looked healthy, and he still had only one catch.
He wasn't involved in the game flow.
But they ran the ball five times with
Christian
Michael.
Even when Tyler Lockett is Tyler Lockett, you're not going to be able to depend on him. He's not going to be reliable. He's the third wide receiver in that running game. But next week, I think, is a one-week opportunity for him to know that he can still be occasionally involved.
And that's fine. Next week is a one-week opportunity, and you like him, and it's a dart throw, and that's fine.
Yes.
And you like him next week.
Yeah.
But next week is not going to be, to me, the ultimate test. If you like him next week, given Tyler Lockett's role in this offense, as you said, that means going forward after next week doesn't make Tyler Lockett all of a sudden the breakout star we thought he was going to be because of one week.
No. I didn't say he was going to be breakout
star.
I said next week's pivotal to show that he's even useful going forward.
See, the thing about it is you can't wait till week 10 to show me that.
Right.
That's the problem right there. We talked about Robert Woods earlier. I would take Robert Woods each and every day over Tyler Lockett.
So would I. Tyler
Lockett has been a bust, and he should be cut. He should be on waiver
wire. Tyler
Lockett
is on every waiver wire. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you guys say. What I'm saying is Tyler Lockett can make himself rosterable again next week.
Fair enough.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Tony, would you rather own Tyler Lockett or Chris Hogan?
Oh, that's a great question. I go with Chris Hogan.
Me too.
I just feel more comfortable with the New England Patriots offense, too, and Hogan having the ability to get deep. I mean, Tyler Lockett, even if he shows up next week, what does that mean? Like, he's going to be like the groundhog, and every 10 weeks
he'll
show up. I think if he's healthy, you know, once every 3 weeks, he'll have a good game.
Scott, I got him on a lot of teams.
Rosterable.
I know, right?
Rosterable.
Hey, Tony, I feel you. I got him on a lot of teams too.
Every
3 weeks they gonna cut it.
Well, that's what Tyler Lockett is, though.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people were projecting him, you know, to have this great breakout year.
We said Moncrief and Lockett were the breakout wide receivers.
Right, a lot of people did, but I wasn't as hot on Lockett as everybody else was. I like him as an NFL player more than a fantasy player. I took him in the fourth round of the Granite Street Tavern League because that thing is so deep, you know, that would have been like a seventh round pick to me.
When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, we're going to take a look at some of the big headlines from yesterday. So stick around. The Roto Experts rolls on right after this. Chance to be pumped.
Trap music.
This is not trap music. This is like early 90s sitcom music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
It is, right?
I'm waiting for like the sitcom where they pose the camera and they just freeze off.
Sussman in the City, starring Greg Sussman. Sussmania in the City.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Speaking of the city, let's get to some headlines here around the cities across the country. And no surprise, I think we kind of saw this coming a little bit yesterday, but Gary Kubiak comes out and says, listen, Devontae Booker, we got to reevaluate that. May lose some snaps to Capri Bibbs. And I don't know if Devontae Booker is healthy or not coming off that shoulder injury a couple weeks ago. But Capri Bibbs earned himself a couple more reps. Tony, is this coach speak or is this something we need to worry about?
No, this is coach speak, and it's something you need to worry about. It's both all in one. I think Booker has a great opportunity. But this matchup this week is everybody – this is going to be the fastest game in NFL history because both teams are going to run the ball right at each other.
Yep.
There'll be – clock's going to continue to run. The sponsors are going to be pissed off because they're going to get more commercials in. This is a perfect opportunity. So if Booker gets a start, he's got to produce this week. Someone will produce in this game as Denver takes on New Orleans. We just saw what happened in that contest with New Orleans and San Francisco. You're going to see both those backs in New Orleans run right at this Denver defense. Drew Brees, everybody loves him at home. You can forget him this week in fantasy. He's not going to throw the ball enough times. This is a great game. Booker, that's down to this week. I like Bibbs to get an opportunity to get 10 touches in this game, but I still think Booker gets 15, 20. If I have him fantasy-wise, I'm playing him.
Yeah, can you play, Scott, can you play Devontae Booker and Capri Bibbs this week?
I think that's a dicey situation, and we don't have as many teams quite on bye as we did last week. So I think unless you're playing in like a 14-team league, it's not something you consider.
What about you, Corey? I mean, you were the one that told me last week, start Tim Hightower, start Mark Ingram against San Francisco. Now, New Orleans is in San Francisco. They got a pretty bad defense, however. Capri Bibbs, Devontae Booker, could you start both this week?
I think you can absolutely do it. We saw it just happen this past weekend. So I do think it's a situation where you can put both those guys in your lineup. This is the New Orleans Saints run defense. It's epically bad right now. So I don't think there's no doubt about it that you can put both guys inside your roster.
If they're epically bad, what does that make San Francisco's run defense?
Even worse.
I just want to see what kind of description you come up with.
Yeah.
Remember the Broncos, too. The Broncos have been struggling, right? They're seventh in the league allowing points to running backs. And they're right there 29th in some statistics against running backs. So this Broncos team is equally as bad defensively. So it's going to be interesting. I think you could play both Saints running backs in this one. I think you might be getting carried away trying to do Bibbs and Booker, but both Saints running backs, I think you play this week.
I think it's also possible. We saw it last week, and we know, we have said this all year long, the way to beat Denver is up the gut, right? Through there, literally through the middle, which is why Tony is projecting that.
For as good as Ingram looked, he only had 15 carries.
We have an early projection here at 7:30 in the morning. Tony Sincato says, start Tim Hightower and Mark Ingram. We'll have more at the board coming up in a little bit. So, it's funny, thinking this just a couple weeks ago, that Gary Kubiak had said, hey, Devontae Booker's my guy. He's going to be a top five running back going forward. And here we are now, just 2 weeks later, worrying about Capri Bibbs. Corey, your guy, Derrick Henry, may miss, quote, multiple weeks due to the calf injury he suffered before the game began. Derrick Henry was a guy that you said, you know, spend what you got to make sure you have Derrick Henry. He's going to be startable going forward. Whether DeMarco wears down or not, Derrick Henry's going to have this value toward the end of the year. Now, he's got this calf injury. Remember, the Titans have a Week 13 bye. Now, I don't know if it's going to come into play with Derrick Henry, if that injury will keep him out that long. But hearing multiple week injuries, it's tough to hold on to a guy like that as you make your playoff push.
I agree with you 100%. This is the time where you have to be serious. Let's see what the practice report says coming up tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Read the tea leaves, like Scott says.
That
one's mine.
Oh, read the tea leaves is yours?
Yeah.
I thought that was Scott.
That's mine.
I like it, though. I just
Thank you.
He should have copy-wrote it. But here's the thing. When you have to see what the situation is, watch the practice reports, see if he is going to be limited. If he is out this week, I think it's safe to go ahead and cut him. Like you said, the bye is week 13. You can't come back and put a part-time player in your week 14 roster. Really, you can't put a part-time player in your week 11, 12, 13 roster.
Can't afford it.
Yeah, this was like one of the few weeks that you really would have had a chance to play him. So I think, listen, I can't predict the injury. The talent is dynamic. If you went all the way in on him last week and you never got to see a snap from him, I apologize for that.
That's not your fault.
I know it's not my it's not my fault, but I apologize.
People are pissed
for that.
At you.
But I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I thought he had a good opportunity. For the rest of the season. Unfortunately, if this injury news tends to be true, then we're not going to see that, and DeMarco Murray becomes a workhorse back. But I would pick up Antonio Andrews because DeMarco Murray has never been the healthiest
guy. That was my question to you, Scotty. If you're a DeMarco Murray owner, are you picking up Antonio Andrews this week?
I'll answer this in two quick parts. Number one, DeMarco Murray did not look 100% to me last week. Mm-hmm. He looked very good still because DeMarco Murray has great vision, great balance, and runs with a lot of power. But I didn't see his classic change of direction. So I don't think he's quite 100%, but still 85% of DeMarco Murray is better than a lot of running backs. Pick up Antonio Andrews here if you have to, but after what we saw of Antonio Andrews last year, no wonder like the minute free agency opened, the Titans were like, can you please get on a plane, DeMarco, because that guy is super mediocre.
Tony, are you somebody that, you know, may have lost your Derrick Henry? Will you go pick up Antonio Andrews?
I think to say I wouldn't because there's such a shortage at running backs
yep.
is a misnomer. But if I had anything at all, he'd be very low down on my priority
okay.
list.
Yeah.
I really don't think DeMarco Murray gets off the field. I think Antonio Andrews, unless he's going to get that job because of a DeMarco Murray injury, which is yeah. always a case any time for any running back, that's why he's rosterable, but I don't expect anything from him.
He's not that talented.
Dollar make you holler.
He makes Matt Asiata look like a workout warrior.
Dollar make you holler on Antonio Andrews. Way down your priority list, but a DeMarco Murray owner should spend that dollar.
We'll talk waivers coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Continuing on, some headlines, though, from yesterday. Is Robert Kelly, not Matt Jones, expected to get the start this week for Washington? It's not a good matchup against Minnesota, but as we saw, they were thrashed 2 weeks ago by Jordan Howard very, very badly.
Yeah.
And Theo Riddick found some room to run on at least one long run this past Sunday. Tony, I'll start with you here. Robert Kelly starting over Matt Jones. What do you think of Robert Kelly this week?
You know what? If I had to project him, I think this Washington team likes to throw the ball. And if he gets if he doesn't get going early in this game, I think he gets 12 carries. We're going to look at 30-something yards in this contest. And it's going to be Kirk Cousins airing it out 40 times in this contest.
What about you, Corey? Are you going to be on, given what Tony was just saying about Kirk Cousins airing it out against Minnesota, does that mean you'd rather be on Chris Thompson than Robert Kelly this week?
No, I'm Chris Thompson should be owned in most leagues.
I agree. Which one would you rather start, though?
I would rather start Chris Thompson because
okay.
even though these PPR backs are consistent, but we really don't know what we have in Rob Kelly, not to mention R. Kelly, not to mention the fact that he's going up against a Minnesota Vikings defense that is trending down. But what I will say about Kelly, what Tony is right, if they can get it going and get him rolling, he's going to have the opportunity. So I don't know. I haven't done my running back priority list for waivers this week, but if he's on the wire, he's definitely going to be a guy you got to go out there and get. Obviously, he's a starting running back. He's going to hold a lot of value going down the stretch. So I think that Rob Kelly is a guy that you can get in on. Are you going to start him this week? In most situations, I would say no, but I can see situations where it could be done. And then he's going to get the goal line work, too.
Greg, if someone cut Matt Jones, would people go out there and pick him up?
I think absolutely. I think like you.
I don't think so.
Really? Because like Tony always says, there's so many losses at running back. Anybody with any talent you pick up, I think you definitely pick up Matt Jones, sure.
I don't think so. I think he's lost his job. And he wasn't impressive when he had it.
Agreed.
Yeah, he wasn't. I wrote about this last night, and it's up on rotoexperts.com this morning in my advanced scout, part of your exclusive edge.
Interesting.
A playoff push package on rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio checkout for a discount on the slash price. I wrote about, you know, the Redskins really like Kelly. They feel like he has better vision and is more north-south than Matt Jones. Plus the fact that Tony talks about if they're going to throw the ball 40 times, he's going to be the guy to cash it in near the stripe.
Absolutely.
So even if he doesn't get a ton of yardage, there's going to be touchdown opportunities. That's what you have to remember.
Given that, you would rather start Kelly than Thompson?
Yes, I personally would. I do have him in one league that we all play in, and I'm going to be looking to sell him because I have four running backs.
Well, you will not be selling him to any of us then.
No, you're not in the league. Corey's in the league.
Oh, thank you.
Tony's in the
That's
league.
Very nice.
Greenwich Street Tavern League.
I'm sorry, I had to work that day.
I'm selling him Rob Carroll because I got four good running backs and need a wide receiver.
You think that's smart, Scotty? Especially in a 14-team league, because I don't really think you're ever safe at running back.
You're never.
But my third wide receiver situation is pretty bad.
Okay. Because I don't think you're ever safe at running back. I think you have two running backs go down this week, and you go from a position where you're deep to where you don't
have nobody.
I know what
you're talking about. In a 12-team league, I wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me at this point, every season I'm in the race for the top spot, and every win counts, and I want to have a good third wide receiver.
Okay.
If I have to win every game. I was in the same situation, the same league this week where, of course, our friend Chris Vaccaro didn't have two active running backs to start. Like, he was in a bad position. And so I traded him Darren Sproles because the reports were mixed on one thing. And I got back Mike Wallace because if I didn't play Mike Wallace, I would have had to play Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. And that's how deep, you know, the injuries and the bye weeks there. But it's crazy now because now I'm deep. And I still have Jeremy Hill as a running back that I can't get into my lineup. So I'm deep at running back where a lot of teams aren't in a 14-team league.
Yeah, I think me and you are. It's like I got Travis Benjamin as my third wide receiver. I can't roll him out there right now with that PCL.
No, I don't know if Travis Benjamin plays this week, to be honest with you. Given that they have the bye in week 11, they might give Travis Benjamin a week off here after sitting out the second half.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll wait on Travis Benjamin, talk more about him coming up. But one player that it looks like will be out there this week is Randall Cobb, who we saw all the reports all morning long and throughout the week, honestly, was that he was not going to play. And then all of a sudden he was active, did not play the first half. It was almost in the case of emergency thing. Green Bay is down 14. He comes in, actually scores a touchdown. He says he did not have a setback. Scotty, will you be employing Randall Cobb as you normally would?
I think I have to wait to see on the reports, but if I know if he's going, I think I'm okay with it. I think Cobb's still going to be heavily involved with this passing game. He was hardly involved, and he scored 9 points last week in a PPR. And the three games before that, 28, 18, and 19.
Right.
So if Randall Cobb's out there, it's hard not to go with him as my wide receiver too.
Tony, given that Allen Hurns has a concussion, how interested are you in Marquise Lee?
Yeah, if Hurns is not able to go, I'm definitely interested in Marquise Lee. Now, I like Chris Ivory because I think they're going to try to run the ball, so those numbers might come down if they can stay in this contest going forward against a good Houston Texans defense. The total's at 43 in this game, so it's one of the lower totals there. But I still like Marquise Lee. If you're playing in deeper league, absolutely a guy that you got to put on your roster. They look for him a lot in this passing game.
He has scored double-figure PPR points in three of his last four games. But let's also keep in mind, if you play in a standard, he has not gotten in the end zone this year.
And that and that hurts his value, but he's been excellent.
Yeah, PPR, nice. Standard, second thoughts.
He's been excellent so far this season. So if he's a piece, especially with that garbage time action that you always get from the Jacksonville Jaguars, if Allen Hurns is out, I think Marquise Lee is a guy that can really, really help you going down the stretch.
Corey told me he's got his Sunday ticket. He can't wait to see Blake Bortles versus Brock Osweiler this Sunday.
That's really going to elevate the quarterback position.
Yeah, that's Tony Romo's going to be watching that game. Where am I going next?
Speaking of guys that could return this week, James Starks, they say, is not ruled out for this Sunday, sticking with the Packers. Scotty, you in on James Starks?
I think if he plays, yes. Look, the Packers don't give enough usage to the running back. They don't use Eddie Lacy enough when he's in there. But the difference between Starks and the other running backs there is he's always involved in the passing game. So from a PPR perspective, if he plays, I'm somewhat interested.
Corey, Spencer Ware could return this week from concussion. The good news for your Spencer Ware owner is Kendrick West did nothing last week. So Spencer Ware, when he's cleared, is going to be right back in that RB1 conversation.
Like I've heard he hasn't been cleared from the concussion protocol yet.
Correct.
That scares me going into the second week of this concussion because normally guys will normally start come out the concussion protocol about Monday. Well, between like Saturday and Tuesday the next week.
Right.
Going to be interesting to see what happens come Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
But if he is cleared, then Spencer Ware goes right back into your lineup. He's the main guy in that offense.
Now,
that's a bad game for fantasy hosts because Carolina, the way to beat them is through the air.
Yeah.
And every time we get involved in one of those Alex Smith games, people go, oh, you know what, Alex Smith's a good play. And then we yell and we argue about it that Alex Smith's never a good play. And you know what? He's never a good play.
You're absolutely correct.
Spencer Ware, here for one sec. Andy Reid did express optimism. He didn't have that optimism last week. Spencer Ware would be cleared. He did have a little bit of optimism yesterday.
Okay.
We'll see what happens later this week. But, Tony, you're absolutely right. That's where I want to go next. Alex Smith has these couple of games every year. Oh, he's a good fantasy play. And we all argue about it. But this week he's without Jerry Maclin, most likely, who re-injured his groin. So I can't imagine you playing Alex Smith without Jerry Maclin.
No.
You'll only have Travis Kelce. However, Tone, if Jerry Maclin doesn't play, and this is the we project to be a good game for Alex Smith, or offensive game for Alex Smith, who is the wide receiver we should be owning in Kansas City?
It's crazy to think about this, but I think if you wanted to play it safe and you want to get your double-digit points, you go with Chris Conley. But I would go and employ Tyreek Hill and try to take a shot at getting in the end zone in big plays and try to go for upside there. And especially if you're going to play daily and you're going to try to pick on that game, I think he's a guy with a big upside. But if you just want to get 10 points, I would go with Conley.
Here's the thing with Alex Smith when you look at him. I remember Cha-Cha was going off the rails in week 7 to say start him against Oakland, and he scored 8 points. He didn't have a touchdown pass. But then in week 7, 8 points is not good. Then in week 7 against New Orleans, he had 2 touchdown passes and finished with 20 points. Regardless of the matchup, you don't know what game flow-wise you're going to get from Alex Smith.
You can't. Let's not fool with Alex Smith. I mean, you look at the quarterback.
Alex Smith, Tannehill, I feel like I can't win.
You look at quarterback numbers this year. Trevor Siemian, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Carson Wentz, that god-awful Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Carson Palmer, who's having a terrible season, injured Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco, all playing better than Alex Smith. Nobody disappoints fantasy owner. Alex Smith should not be a guy that's in your starting lineup. That thing is running the football, being safe, not making too many mistakes. I wish Nick Foles could have stayed in there.
When we come back.
From an NFL perspective, I don't think.
Well, yeah, from an NFL perspective, you can't play Nick Foles. You're going to the playoffs.
When we come back, Tony Cincotta and myself will moderate our first election. We will Wolf Blitzer, Anderson Cooper, Megyn Kelly will be all that combined into one as Corey and Scott.
She's nice.
We'll try to win your votes here on Election Day. It is Election Day here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Returning here on Election Day, all the Roto Experts in the Morning, myself, Greg Sussman, Tony Cincotta, will be here counting the polls this morning as we have our first poll up right now at FNTSY Radio, I hope. Bavona. Nope, you didn't. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. The poll is, who are you voting for?
Sorry, he doesn't walk the dog.
Are you voting for Scott's red team of DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, and Lamar Miller? Of course, for fantasy purposes.
Texans?
Do you not understand the red reference here?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. No, I just don't want to be on that side.
Yeah, you're red today, okay, Scotty. Right. Corey, you will represent the blue. Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and LeSean McCoy. You represent the blue.
All right.
Scotty, we will start with you. And Tony, feel free to jump in with questions at any moment. These are your polls. Corey and Scott will be debating this for the next few minutes. We'll take the poll. We'll put it up there for the next hour. Make sure you get to the polls at FNCSY Radio, which is being tweeted right now. Scotty, let me ask you this. What is your position? Where do you stand on the trade deal of DeAndre Hopkins right now, or the trade value in our case?
I just need to ask you a question. I'm supposed to argue for these guys, right?
They're your team.
Okay, they're my team.
They are your states. Look, you represent them.
I know that DeAndre Hopkins has disappointed the American fantasy public. But you have to look at the schedule upcoming. All right? After the week 9 bye, this guy gets Jacksonville, Oakland, San Diego, Green Bay, Indianapolis, Jacksonville again. If Brock Osweiler has a brain left in his head, he's going to get the ball to his best playmaker. Yes, he's been disappointing, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that he can rebound. We have seen in week 5 and 6, he had 2 16-point PPR games. This guy should at least give you a decent floor going forward based on the schedule, and based on if Houston wants to stay in a playoff race, they need to get the ball to their best player, which is DeAndre Hopkins.
Corey, let me fact check Scott for a moment. As a moderator, I can do that.
Yes.
Now, he has said in the past, and we have it on tape, that DeAndre Hopkins is no longer by low. He doesn't like DeAndre Hopkins, and yet here he is tooting his horn.
I'm supposed to. You put me in this spot. I'm doing what you asked me to do.
You can't say that. I understand what I asked you to do.
He's a very bad candidate.
He is. He's a bad candidate. You know what?
Yeah, but you're trying.
You're saying the election is rigged.
Moderator, you're trying to point out that I took a different position
correct.
In the past.
Which you have.
I'm doing what you asked me to do.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm telling you that.
Like wrestling, I'm going by the script, okay?
The election is not rigged, Scott. The polls are not going to be rigged here today on this election.
Don't point out my past position. Scott, it's nothing to do with it. It's locker room talk.
Scott, the proper response to that would have been, Mr. Candidate, the proper response would have been, you seem to be siding with the way your donations come in.
Yeah.
And now the donations
that's
are
very
coming
good.
In
yes.
From one side, and you seem to be swaying as far as the donations to your campaign. Do you care to comment on that?
Oh, me? The donations to my campaign you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not getting any donations.
So you're funding your own campaign?
I'm funding my own campaign, yes.
Okay. Mr. Parson,
yes.
Now, over to you. I do want to ask you a question about your team. Now, some have pointed out that the weakness on your ticket is Sterling Shepard. They feel that he is the weak link compared to your opponent, whose second wide receiver here is Dez Bryant. How would you care to say that? How would you defend your choice of Sterling Shepard?
Listen, this is a young player. He's going to have his ups and downs. He's going to have his struggles. We have to take our time with him. As he learns more and develops, especially as the situation arises, we're working with him. We're going to get him up to speed. We're going to get him in shape. The offense dictates to us passing the football. We're not going to be able to pass the football to Odell Beckham 30 times a game. That means it's going to be work for the young player moving forward. We see him start the season with a flurry, with three games of double-digit points. I'm not saying that he's ready to become an everyday contributor right now, but he's definitely a guy that we can keep our eyes on.
For
the next 4 years. Remember his youth. His youth is critical in this situation. Now, to my candidates, to my opponents,
yes.
Talk about DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
I mean, this guy just last week was talking about how much he couldn't stand DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see him flip-flop.
Right.
This is the way he's been on topics
sure.
so far.
What
this,
about –
What about the emails
that we found from the FBI when you talking bad about Sterling Shepard, all right? We can't trust this guy.
That was not corroborated, sir. You're literally just making this up.
Yes. yes, a candidate
Parson. There's a sleazy Parson campaign.
Sir, you've had your time, please. Tony.
Yes, candidate Parson, let me ask you, is Sterling Shepard a representative of the youth of America who is acceptable to being the second best on his team and doesn't strive to outdo a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and is okay being second fiddle?
No, that's not the way that the young man was raised. He's definitely wants to come for that top spot, but he understands that he has work to do. He came into this situation with a guy already in place. So he's the second guy on the ticket. Let's give the young man time to develop.
Now, Mr. Parson, let me ask you about the first guy on your ticket, on the top of your ticket right now, and that's Brandon Marshall. Now, he has had some struggles. He has been in government for quite a long time, and yet he's running as incumbent here this cycle. But, you know, his polling numbers recently, they haven't been great. What makes you think Brandon Marshall should be your candidate for the long term?
Well, you look at his career. You look at his history. Now, I know this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately country.
Yes.
And that's what we're looking for. But when you look at the numbers, he hasn't been terrible. He's given you double digits. We don't have the big blow-up performances. Listen, that's not the way the offense is set up this season.
Right.
Is he going to let you down the stretch? No. You can make your fantasy team great again with Brandon Marshall. I think that he's in a solid place. As long as the situations around him don't change, I'm on board with Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall has scored 10 points or less PPR in four of the last games. There's no Eric Decker to take pressure off him. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not playing well. If we want to go on history, well, why don't we pick up Andre Johnson?
But now, this guy this is the same man that was talking up DeAndre Hopkins 3 minutes ago. So there you go with more hypocritical statements from candidate Angle.
DeAndre Hopkins is a young guy on the way up. Brandon Marshall is getting older. He's not producing recently, and he's missing his biggest compliment.
He has 40 receptions.
Candidate Angle, candidate angle, your policies seem to basically neglect the middle class, and Lamar Miller was a guy that was the fifth or sixth running back off the board. He doesn't get in the end zone. Is that because of a lack of opportunity, because of your policies and procedures basically freezing out the middle class?
Okay. This is untrue. This shows the bias of the media, the lineup lock media. I drafted Lamar Miller in several leagues.
Do you believe in the draft?
So I believe in him, and I have not traded him either. So, as my campaign slogan says, let the barbs be accurate. Lamar Miller, yes, for the first 5 weeks, was the Jake Seeley of fantasy football. He could not score, okay? But Lamar Miller has scored in two of the past three games. I am maintaining my confidence. I am showing Lamar Miller authenticity on my ticket.
What about Dez Bryant, though, who has been in and out of your lineup? He's been replaced on your campaign multiple times on your ticket. You've taken him off the ticket, on the ticket, off the ticket. And now, here on Election Day, he remains on your ticket as your second wide receiver. Can Dez help make your team and your campaign what you expect it to be?
This is a wonderful part of my campaign because there's no way that my opponent can tear down anything that I'm going to say because I'm going to use his own words from yesterday as my angle. This team will need to get the ball downfield at some point to challenge defenses more. Dez Bryant is their best downfield playmaker, the second best guy on the team in terms of being a playmaker. So they have to get the ball to him, so the numbers got to improve. That is a quote from Corey Parson himself.
Now, we see with this guy, once again, being hypocritical. He says he's for the middle class.
Yes.
But what about health care?
Right.
Look at Dez Bryant's health care platform.
Sure.
He cannot stay on the field.
Yeah.
It's a foot. It's a knee. It's a quarterback with a broken back. Health care is a serious concern for Dez Bryant.
Sure.
He says he's for the middle class. Apparently, he's not if he's sticking behind Dez Bryant, because Dez Bryant does not ensure American families. He barely gets on the field. He's been inconsistent, and I think for the long term, he's always going to have a health care problem.
Candidate angle.
He is not for America, yet he said yesterday that America's team needs him to come through.
Candidate angle, your final statement in 10 seconds, please.
My final statement is that I believe in DeAndre Hopkins. My opponent obviously believes in my Dez Bryant. Otherwise, he's being a hypocrite.
Candidate Parson, your final statement, please.
That situation with Brandon Marshall will improve. Look for the veteran leadership from Brandon Marshall to take over down the stretch.
Marshall had never played in an NFL playoff game.
Sir, that was his final statement.
And you will never play in a fantasy playoff game if you have Brandon Marshall.
Are you voting for Corey's blue team, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and LeSean McCoy, or Scotty's red team of DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, and Lamar Miller? We want your votes. Give us a call at 844-843-6879 or vote at FNTSY Radio. When we come back, we take a look at the waiver wire. Polling continues all day long here on Election Day on the Roto Experts in the Morning.